Support for TPR Podcast comes from Port of Entry, a podcast filled with cross-border stories from cross-border people like you. Port of Entry zooms in on some of the interesting and unexpected ways the U.S. and Mexico are inextricably linked, despite the wall running between us. From KPBS and PRX, Port of Entry is available now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Get details at portofentrypod.org.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. When former Vice President Joe Biden was running for the Democratic nomination for president, he shared the debate stage with former San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro. Biden was able to find his opening and then win the nomination. The former HUD Secretary Castro didn't become the nominee, but he is still campaigning. Julian Castro joins us to talk about the race, the state of the Latino vote in 2020, and housing in the pandemic. If you have a question for Secretary Castro, the number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Julian Castro, welcome back to The Source.
Hey, it's good to be with you, Dave.
So, you're campaigning for Joe Biden. Is that what you're doing these days?
Yeah, campaigning for Vice President Biden and Senator Harris, and also a whole bunch of other candidates to try and get Democrats elected up and down the ballot on November 3rd.
What is the state of your participation in the Biden campaign? Are you an official surrogate? Are you do you work with the campaign, or are you just doing this on your own?
No, of course. Yeah, at the request of the campaign, I've been involved in a number of different events. Most of you can imagine these are virtual events. Last night, for instance, we did one out in North Carolina and then also in Nevada, and have done stuff here in Texas, a few days ago in Arizona. So yeah, just helping out wherever I'm asked. It's kind of all hands on deck. There are a lot of surrogates out there that are making the case and thanking volunteers, reaching out to voters, doing everything that we can as early voting has started in many states, including, of course, our home state here of Texas, to remind people to get out and vote and just make sure that we get turnout up.
So does the Biden campaign, they see you, Julian Castro, are they seeing you as someone who can help bring in the Latino vote?
Well, I hope so. I'm happy to pitch in any way that I can. I think that Vice President Biden and Senator Harris both have a very strong vision for the future of our country that includes the Hispanic community, whether we're talking about job opportunities, education opportunities, healthcare, housing, changing our immigration laws to make them more fair and based on common sense instead of the cruelty of the Trump administration. Yeah, I think that, Latinos are going to respond in this election cycle. And I've been glad to see the turnout numbers here in Texas and in other places as well.
There's been analysis of the Biden campaign. So particularly in the primaries, the Biden coalition made up mainly of African-American voters, moderates, and older, mostly white voters in the Democratic Party. Now, there hasn't been a lot of attention paid to Latino voters directly by the Biden campaign. We didn't see you in a prominent role in the virtual Democratic convention.
Well, but at the convention, you did see a number of elected officials, but maybe more importantly, you saw very compelling stories presented by everyday Americans. I remember there was a young woman from Arizona, for instance, a Latina, that talked about losing her father to COVID-19. Her 65-year-old father had been a supporter of Donald Trump, and he didn't take the coronavirus seriously because he trusted Trump when Trump called it a hoax and downplayed it. She spoke about that very movingly. There was also a young girl, I think it was on the second to the last night of the convention, that spoke about her mother getting deported and her father having served in the armed forces for the country. You know, she relayed a story that I think resonated with a lot of Americans, especially in the Latino community. So those stories were highlighted, and maybe most importantly, the campaign and the Democratic National Committee have been investing resources to reach out to Hispanic voters in so many different states, here in Texas and Florida, you know, Arizona, all over the place, because even though I agree with you that, you know, the Latino vote has not received in the media the kind of attention that it sometimes does, and these things kind of go in cycles, it's absolutely crucial this year, even in states like Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, that we lost by 77,000 votes collectively in 2016, because you have growing Latino communities in each of those states, and in places like Georgia. I mean, there was a poll yesterday that had Biden up 7 points in Georgia, and we have two Senate races going on in Georgia right now. So there's wonderful opportunity that I think the Latino community is going to contribute to Democrats winning in.
But Texas, okay, Texas with our, was it 38 electoral votes? If the Latino vote in Texas becomes as vibrant and electrified as it could be, and if Texas became more of a blue state than it is now, which it isn't at all, then that would be a game changer for national politics. And what about, you know, activating the Latino vote in Texas? What do you see happening there?
Well, look, I mean, as somebody like you that is from here, grew up here in San Antonio and has watched Texas over the years, and we've read stories along the way of how Texas is going to turn blue. And look, you know, a few years ago, I said I thought that in 6 to 8 years that would happen. And that was probably at least 8 years ago. So there's been a lot of talk for a long time. But what's happened under Donald Trump is that two trends are coming together to produce a more competitive Texas. The first is the demographic growth of the Latino community, but also of the Asian American community, and the continued growth of the African American community in Texas. And then secondly, the suburbs are abandoning Republicans under the Donald Trump era. You know, you saw that in Beto O'Rourke's race against Ted Cruz. I think you're going to see it even more so in 2020. That's going to mean that Democrats will be able to win a lot of these state house seats. I think that we can win some of these congressional races, whether it's Wendy Davis's race or, you know, people like Candace Valenzuela that's running in the DFW area. And also, those two dynamics are what's powering these polls that you see that have Biden and Trump tied in Texas, like 48-48, or, you know, I saw one the other day that had Biden 49, Trump 48. I saw one that had Trump 49, Biden 47 yesterday. But it's very real. And the Hispanic community is right in the middle of that. And I don't think that we're going to go backward. I think that that it's only going to get stronger for Democrats.
But there is a portion, of course, it's issue driven. There's issues that the Latino community in Texas are very much paying attention to, and they want to see like what's on the table here for Latinos. But there's also the idea of recognition coming from Joe Biden saying, "I hear you, I see you in Texas, and believe me, you know I have Julian Castro helping me communicate what is that going on?"
Yeah, I know on my part, we've been out there doing different events. I know that Beto O'Rourke has been doing events.
Why is Beto O'Rourke? I mean, he's not. Why does he bring in the Latino vote? I don't understand that.
I do think that he has some good support among people of different backgrounds, including Latinos. Obviously, we saw that in 2018. But I mean, if we're talking Texas, you know, all of us who have been prominent in the state of Texas are playing a role these days in trying to drive up turnout for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And, you know, and my brother as well is another one who's been doing a lot of events virtually. Yeah, we're going to keep doing everything I can that we can. Like the Hispanic community here in Texas, there is no question, is growing. You see it shifting over, I think, becoming a little bit more Democratic. It has been a little bit more conservative than the Hispanic community that you see in Colorado or California, or even places like Arizona these days. But that's changing. I have long thought that at some point Texas would begin to reflect, politically begin to reflect its demographics a lot more. And there's no reason that a state with these demographics and you know, this history of so many people being shortchanged. I mean, look at the mess in the Rio Grande Valley. The Rio Grande Valley has been shortchanged of public investment for generations. And they're feeling that right now with this COVID outbreak. The lack of public hospitals in places like McAllen, you know, the lack of other investment, people are responding to that. And I think you're going to see the results of that on November 3rd.
Rio Grande Valley's got 17% of the Texas population, and yet they have about 30% of the fatalities from COVID in Texas. That should be a scandal. It should be an outrage. It should be, you know, we need explanations on that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll hear more from former San Antonio Mayor, former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Julian Castro. If you have a question, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me on the phone, Julian Castro, former U.S. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, former San Antonio mayor, and a 2020 Democratic presidential candidate. If you have a question for Secretary Castro, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Rebecca is on the line. Hey, Rebecca, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just basically wondered, I know that you already brought this up, but it just doesn't seem like there's representation politically or professionally for from the Hispanic community. I mean, we do have both the Castro brothers, which is really great, but I just don't feel like there's any more representation than that. I mean,
okay, Rebecca, thank you so much for the call. So, Julian Castro, you know, you're representing, but how's the bench look?
I think the bench actually here in Texas is looking stronger and stronger. I mean, you look at folks like Lena Hidalgo, the county judge of Harris County. You know, she is the chief executive over there of the county with, I think, almost 4 million constituents. You look at a lot of the state representatives, some of the state senators, they're gaining great experience and rising in prominence. And not to mention, you know, I came from local government, so whether it's here, Austin, Houston, Dallas, you have a growing number of city council members that will become mayors and so forth, people in Congress like my brother. You know, you do have a growing bench of people. I would say, you know, nationally, that when it comes to Latinos and Latinas, that we do still lack the numbers that you should see. And yeah, I'm working hard. I know others are working hard to change that and to support a bench of people that will become congressional representatives and senators, and hopefully one day president of the United States. I would say locally, though, Dave, that the big challenge here is not political empowerment for Hispanics. The big challenge here really is economic empowerment. If you were to go through that San Antonio Business Journal list that they put out in this city of the biggest architecture firms, engineering firms, law firms, accounting firms, you would have to search far and wide in those that book of lists to find Hispanic-owned firms. It's amazing the lack of real economic empowerment in a city that's 63 or 64% Hispanic. And that's hardly ever talked about. It's hardly written about, but it's true.
Let's go to another caller, and this is Anna. Anna, welcome to The Source. You're on the air with former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Julian Castro.
Hi, yes. So, you know, I was listening to the program, and I guess my question or comment is, I'm a first-generation Latina. My parents are both immigrants. But I wanted to ask, how do you expect me to support Biden in this election when it is on record that Obama-Biden administration deported, had the highest numbers of deportations than any other administration? Yeah, you use that as an example.
All right, Anna, thank you for the question.
The vice president has been very clear that that it took too long for the Obama administration to get that right. So what happened in the Obama administration, if you look at the beginning versus the end, at the end of the Obama administration, the administration started something called the Family Case Management Program. And the Family Case Management Program was an effort to not detain families, migrants here into the country, but to, you know, allow them to be together and to go live with family or others who were here, you know, sponsors that they knew. And through case management, through constant contact with them, you know, they also did not have like ankle monitors, but through constant contact with them, this initiative was able to make sure that people showed up for their court appointments, you know, that they had, and you know, it worked. In other words, it was not what we see with this cruelty of the Trump administration of putting kids in cages. It was not separating kids from their parents. And it wasn't what the Trump administration started, which they call the Migrant Protection Protocols, or Remain in Mexico program, basically forcing asylum seekers to wait in Mexico instead of being able to wait here in the United States, which is their program. That didn't exist before.
And so Anna, you still there, Anna? Anna, I have a question for you. Do you give any credit to the administration for DACA?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You know, I saw that they helped with DACA, and I know that, you know, that DACA is continuing. So I do think that there has to be immigration reform. I was kind of disappointed not to hear a lot about that during the DNC. I feel like there has to be a reform in either party. I don't feel is really kind of addressing it. But, you know, the Obama administration did have the highest number of deportations. And honestly, my family almost lost their business under Obama. But under Trump, we are thriving. So for the first time ever, I voted Republican.
Anna, thank you for your call. Appreciate that.
I think that strikes me as not the usual experience of a lot of people right now whose small businesses are shuttered because this president has performed worse than just about every other world leader in terms of containing this pandemic. I mean, it's amazing. You compare the United States to where these other countries are. Many of these other countries already have opened back up. They've gotten on the other side of this pandemic because they had leaders that actually listened to the public health experts. They followed the science instead of what we've seen just yesterday. I mean, you watch on TV having these huge rallies with nobody wearing masks and suggesting that you know, just go ahead and get the virus. Just irresponsible leadership by Trump. And so I would think that if you ask a lot of small business owners, has this president helped them or hurt them, his lack of leadership with this coronavirus has absolutely cratered our economy for many small business owners.
Another caller, Antonio. And Antonio, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Can you hear me well?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you. I was my comment and maybe question is the majority of Latinos in the U.S. and in Texas are Catholics. I'm a Latino myself. I'm Catholic, and I work in many churches. The issue that divides Latino Catholics is the pro-life issue. My comment is, I believe Democrats are more pro-life, pro-education, pro-healthcare, pro-climate change, pro-dreamers. But they have we have allowed the narrative to become an either-or. Either you're for life or either you're for choice. So the recent documents of Pope Francis stress that racism is an issue of life. If you're pro-life, you can't be for racist legislation or the death penalty.
All right, Antonio, so I've got to cut you short because we're short on time, but I think we get to question, and let's get a response from Julian Castro.
Well, I think it's a good point that you look at these policies oftentimes that are embraced by the Republican Party, and they're not pro-life at all. Look at what they're doing right now. They're in court, going to Supreme Court on November 10th to end the Affordable Care Act, you know, to end access to health care for millions of people in this country in the middle of the worst pandemic that we've had in 100 years. Same thing with making investments so that we can get people who are homeless off the streets or children who are hungry, you know, the nutrition that they need. That's not pro-life. I mean, that's, you know, that's political talk, basically, that phrase.
The pandemic and housing, we have about a minute and a half left. What is your quick take on what's going on with that?
The House of Representatives passed legislation several months ago, I think in May, called the HEROES Act. And the HEROES Act would provide $100 billion of direct rental assistance to help ensure that people are able to stay in their home, and would also extend an eviction moratorium and help protect people on a mortgage. Unfortunately, Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn, you know, the United States Senate has not taken up that HEROES Act that was already passed in the House. You know, and the president has kind of been all over the place saying he wants to do something and then pulling back from that. There are a lot of people right now that are on the brink of getting evicted because these eviction moratoriums have run out. And so we absolutely urgently need to ensure that people can stay in their home, get past this pandemic. I will say I was disappointed in the San Antonio City Council that they did not try and extend an eviction moratorium here a couple of months back. I thought that was the wrong decision. And other cities have done more. They did a good job by allocating, I think, about $25 million for housing assistance to people. I applaud them for that. But, and I know this was a split vote on the city council, but they should have extended that eviction moratorium.
Julian Castro is the former mayor of San Antonio, former U.S. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, and a 2020 presidential candidate for the Democratic nomination. And he is out campaigning for Joe Biden, being an ambassador for the Latino vote. Thank you so much for joining us, Secretary Castro.
Thanks a lot.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by Ruben Garcia and Kathleen Creedon. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.